Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1816, the topic is Q&A, and the title is The Three Most Important Pieces of a Home Gym. I'm going to start with an apology. I'm going to apologize because I used a little bit of clickbait. I will give equipment advice. But the three most important pieces of a home gym have nothing to do with equipment. It has nothing to do with what's in the gym, in a sense. And that'll make more sense here in a second. But the three most important pieces of a home gym are three components that'll actually help you be more consistent with using your home gym. What I mean by this is you can have the most kick-ass amazing home gym, but if you never use the thing, it isn't really helpful. So I want to touch base on what gets in the way of clients using their home gyms. Number one is a consistent schedule. Number two is a motivating environment. And number three is a planned routine. Now, thankfully, my clients are okay with that. But this is an issue that comes up with a lot of people. So these are the three most important pieces of a home gym is having a consistent schedule, having a motivating environment, and having a planned routine. What you have in the gym doesn't matter if you don't use it. So we have to focus on being able to use the home gym first, then what is inside of it. So the consistent routine, consistent schedule, that's what we're looking at first, is how can I, like, when am I going to work out? In my normal day-to-day life, when would it fit best for me to work out? The best piece of advice, that sounds like a broken record, but it's by far the best advice, is to get in bed when the productive part of your day ends. For some people, that's 9 p.m., some people 10 p.m., some people 11 p.m., maybe work third shift, so it's like 9 a.m., but there's a portion of the end of the day that we don't really do anything productive. We're kind of zoned out, low on energy, and we consider that our me time. Let me unwind, right? Well, that amount of time, if reallocated to the next morning, would be a great time to work out. What I mean by this is, let's say you have to get up at 6 in the morning, but you don't go to bed until midnight. From 10 p.m. to midnight, were you really doing anything important? Did you really do anything that's majorly impactful, that made your life better, that like crossed off a to-do list item for the day? Typically, from 10 p.m. to midnight, you'd have done it nothing. You know, doom-scrolled on social media or watched a meaningless television or movie. Maybe you would have had some, you know, connection time or me time with a spouse. Well, what we can do is we can reallocate some of that time. Maybe from 10 to 10:30, you could still have that kind of, you know, time with the spouse or whatever it might be. But you want to get into bed and be sleeping a little bit earlier. If you can go to bed at 11 and get up at 5, now all of a sudden you have from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. where you have a little more energy, believe it or not, once you get your butt out of bed, and you have time to work out. What's awesome about 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. is no one else is awake and no one can get in your way. So the idea of getting up early is to get up before the rest of the world wakes up and gets in your way. But if we can get to bed at a reasonable time, whenever the productiveness of our day ends, get into bed, you know, read a book, get off like a screen, get off a screen. You're going to fall asleep more naturally and faster if you try to like read a physical book or do some journaling than you will looking at a screen. So do a physical book, physical journal, something like that, but get your butt into bed, get up early, and get your workout in early. The earlier, the better. We make the best decisions, do the best things early in the day, and then the chaos of the day gets in the way, and we end up just kind of rushing through the rest of the day, and then we get to the end of the day and go, what the hell happened? So before we get to the end of the day and wonder what the hell happened and why didn't I get the chance to work out, get the workout in. So plan that. Plan to get it in early in the day. Then what happens if you can't get it in the early part of the day? Can you work out, you know, immediately after work, before you get into another task, before you go home? Maybe drive right from work to the gym. Now, this is a home gym, so I guess you're going to drive home. But the idea is to get home and don't do anything. Like, just get into your house, run directly into your gym, work out in your work clothes. Just, for the love of God, do not get into anything else, because there are too many other things that are going to present themselves as urgent. Doesn't mean they're important, but they're going to present themselves as urgent, and you're going to think you need to do those things, then all of a sudden you're going to be too tired and it's going to be too late to work out. So get a consistent schedule. If you need to, communicate with everybody else in your house. So that way everybody knows what your schedule is, when you're going to get your time in, help support them with their schedule and their time. You know, make it a community effort. So that way everybody's on board and everybody knows that everyone is trying to be their best selves to help contribute to each other's life in the best way possible. But you do need to account for your own health. You need to account for your needs. And getting in a workout as early in the day as possible is the best thing. But when are you going to work out? There's no point in having a home gym if you don't use a damn gym. So you have to account for, you have to plan for when you're going to work out. Second thing is to have a motivating environment. Put on some good music. Maybe put up some posters on the wall. Do something that makes the environment exciting, interesting. Slap a coat of paint on the walls, whatever you got to do. Just make it an environment that you'd want to be in. Another tip, and this might be sensitive on some people, so if you don't like this tip, just don't use it, don't follow it. But I would suggest getting seclusion from your kids. If you have young kids, little kids, you know, either take the time to work out, maybe the first half of the workout, have the spouse or somebody else take care of the kids for a little bit, give yourself some time, or you can have a designated area in the gym for them. But to just have your kids roaming around the gym, you're not going to be focused as much as you could be on what you're doing, especially if you're doing technical lifts like powerlifting things or like Olympic lifting things, and your kids are running around and you don't quite know where they are. Maybe you step on them or you're afraid to hit them with the barbell. You're just not going to be paying attention to what you're doing with 100% of what you could be giving. So I would recommend you get some seclusion, you get some control over your environment. So that way you can give 100% attention. So for example, I give my clients video, like we do video reviews every week. And I'll say, hey, on your squat, it looks like when you start the squat, we kind of like dip our, like we, so one client, for example, they bend their knees. They have this upright position when they walk out their squat, and then they just start down by just pushing their knees forward. And then about halfway down, then they start to push their butt back, but the squat is already kind of weird by the time they started, because the knees only went forward instead of the knees going forward and the butt going back at the same time at the beginning. So they have on note cards what they want to remember. Well, if you don't have seclusion, if you have a chaotic environment, you're not going to remember your cues. You're not going to remember like the extra little nuances of things. And if you're working out and you're just going through some motions, getting some sweat going, totally fine. But if you need to do some technical things, if you need to have mental attention with what you're doing, try to get some seclusion. Try to get yourself in an environment to where you can focus on what you're doing. But music is going to help. Posters are going to help. You know, putting the kids in a designated area so they're not free roaming around getting in the way, that might be a good thing to try, you know, if you want. But the environment you have will absolutely make or break the workouts. If you don't have a motivating environment, once you get a little tired and you take like a little bit of a longer break, so maybe you have to take a 3-minute rest for something, all of a sudden then if it's like, oh man, it's kind of quiet in here, or you know, like it's kind of drab, like nothing's exciting in here. You start to notice your environment more when you start to take longer breaks, and that can detach you from the workout, that can take you away from the workout. So the first thing is a consistent schedule. The second thing is a motivating environment. The third thing is a planned routine. Know what you're doing before you get in there. If you go in there and try to figure it out, you're probably going to feel overwhelmed. You're not going to be sure what to do. You're not going to know all the options. You're just going to put together some muddly mess and then quit in 20 minutes. So you want to have a routine ready So that way, if you go through all the freaking effort of making the home gym, you go through all the effort of making it a great environment, you go through all the effort of setting the time aside to use the gym, then you get in there and you don't know what to do, it's demotivating. So you can hire a coach. You can get free programming. I'm in the process now of putting up even more free programming on our website, www.prettylarngym.com. So you can go to free programming. I think that's the page title. But on our website, if you go to www.prettylarngym.com, one of the pages is free program examples. And on that page, I'm going to be putting up more programs that people can use for free. That way you can just kind of get some good programming, see the way I structure my programming for clients. If you like it, you can hire me. If you don't, just use the free stuff. Actually, if you didn't like it, then you probably won't want to use it. But it's pretty good programming. I don't know why you wouldn't like it. So I'm putting it on there for free. But you can check out our website for free programming. You can hire a coach. You can get an app on your phone, whatever it is. Just get something that you have a planned routine so you know what you're doing when you get in there. Those are the three most important pieces of a home gym. Consistent schedule, motivating environment, planned routine. Now, the stuff that you probably actually like listen in for is what do I recommend for a home gym? It depends on budget. It depends on the style of training that a person does. But typically home gym, like I have one client that we do rehab work for an old shoulder and knee injury. We're also doing strength training around squat, bench, deadlift, and then just overall functional fitness. If he builds some muscle, great. He just wants to feel better in his skin and be able to move himself better. So a squat stand is something we started with. So for example, he has a $2,000 budget. So we started with a squat stand. Then we got a good barbell that was a multi-purpose barbell you could use for Olympic lifts and powerlifting. And then we got economy bumper plates, 45s and 25s. We're just going to do the smaller plates by metal, like metal 10s, 5s, and 2.5s. And you can just go those off Amazon or Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace, stuff like that. Then we went with an adjustable bench and some bands. That's the base of the gym. I showed him links from Titan because it's certainly good enough quality for a home gym and one person using it. Maybe not the best for a commercial gym quality. Yeah, since I own a commercial gym where I have, dozens of people beating up my machines all day, I'm going to go with probably something a little more heavy duty. But Titan makes great stuff. They make 11-gauge steel, things which would be standard for commercial grade stuff. But I have a Titan squat stand link that I sent them with a 3x3 post with 1-inch holes because it allows for just so many accessories to be added to that. Then we went with their Titan Olympic bar. We went with the economy bumper plates, the Titan adjustable bench, and then the light band set. And that's going to help them cover pretty much all the bases. And then some extra things we have is for dumbbells. We could pick up a small couple sets of dumbbells off Facebook Marketplace. They could save up to get like an adjustable set, whether it's Power Blocks or the new bells. There's a whole bunch of different options out there. We could get a pulley system. Spud Inc. makes a great tricep and lat pulley system, which you can use for like cable exercises, kind of mimic like a functional cable column. You can do lever arms off the squat stand to give a lot more exercise options. You can do the plate-loaded leg extension leg curl. They make also a standing leg press, like a linear hack squat. Those are all under $1,000, and they give a ton of extra options for lower body. You can get an air bike very cheaply on Facebook Marketplace. Usually air bikes you're going to find be a top end, you're looking at like $600, $800, but there are some for just $100, $200 you can get, and that's a great way to kind of warm up the body, use that for cardio circuits between weight training. You can have a lot of fun there. You can do a dip attachment. That gives you the chance to do dips. You can set it really high off of one of the rack posts and do neutral grip pull-ups. So there's a lot of options we can pick, but the basics of a good home gym are going to be some kind of squat rack or stand, a good barbell, and then some bumper plates. From there, I would definitely add an adjustable bench and some bands because you can do a lot of crazy stuff with bands. And then you want dumbbells, maybe kettlebells. Usually adjustable options are going to be great to save space. And then from there, it's really kind of specialty stuff like the pulley system that we talked about, maybe getting a machine here or there if you have the space for it. But those are typical recommendations that I give. I have had clients that have outfitted great home gyms for $2,000 or less. I have some clients that have spent more, you know, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, but they kind of accumulated it over time. And that's kind of helped them spread out that cost. So maybe they started with $1,000 worth of stuff, then birthday, Christmas rolled around, they got a couple more things, another birthday, Christmas rolled around, a couple more things, maybe a bonus at work rolled around, a couple more things. You just slowly piece it together as you can. But the basics of a home gym is going to be a squat rack or stand, good barbell and bumper plates. If you have that, you're going to have a lot of things that you need. Okay, so again, I apologize for the clickbait, but I really wanted to get across that having a home gym doesn't matter if you don't use it. It's not going to be a special next piece of equipment that'll make you use the gym. It's a consistent schedule, motivating environment, and a planned routine. Okay, if you have any questions, reach out. My email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. Also, if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.